Our plan for the retreat, as you know, is to concentrate on sacred scripture as the source of our spiritual life. There are many truths revealed by God about how the spiritual life is to be lived. But we might see there is a hierarchy among those truths, and one that is most fundamental that underlies all the rest. What is this most fundamental truth of the spiritual life? It is the mystery of creation. We are assured this by the opening verse of the first book of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Whatever else we believe as Catholics, whatever other truth we assent to with our minds, which is what faith means, accepting with the intellect what God revealed, the most basic of all these truths is the fact of creation. I would like to ask a series of questions, answer each, and draw out the spiritual implications as we go along. First, what is creation? Secondly, strange question, how does God create? How does creation take place? Third question, why does, note the present tense, why does God create? Now past tense, why did God create me? And finally, why did God create the rest of the world outside of me? And we'll close with a short prayer. What is creation? Creation is producing something out of nothing. Creation means that something which did not exist is brought into existence. When we say that God is creator, as we do in the opening article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What are we affirming about God the Creator? We are saying that in creating, God starts with nothing, but also, and most important, God parts with nothing. There is nothing outside of Him, and there is nothing that leaves him. Over the centuries in the Old Testament, although already in the book of Genesis, it was made plain to the Jews, otherwise than all other believers, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Phoenicians, the Greeks, and the Romans. In the Jewish faith, the most fundamental article of Judaism is the fact that except for God, nothing else would exist. He alone must exist. God cannot not be. Everyone and everything else except God need not be. How does God create? It's a strange question because whenever we use the word how, we assume that there is some action that takes place which merely changes what existed before. Whereas in creation, oh, there's change, all right. Change from nothing into being. But we've got to use our own human vocabulary. So we repeat the question, how does God create? God creates by the use of his own almighty free will. And the word free will is important. It may be a surprise, but it should not be, that in God there are two kinds of will from our perspective. Was the Father free to not generate the second person of the Blessed Trinity? Or were Father and Son free so that from them, if they so decided, there would not proceed the Holy Spirit? In God from all eternity, therefore, there was what we call his necessary divine will. There cannot not have been three persons in the Holy Trinity. However, and except for that word, however, there wouldn't be a speaker. There'd be no audience. However, God also has a free will. I've been ordained a priest 39 years. Can hardly believe it. I have stopped being embarrassed and saying it. I've been teaching theology for 34 years. And only gradually is it dawning on me, and I'm sharing with you such limited insight as I have, that everything that God does, everything that God does outside of his own triune being, he does not have to do. Whatever he does here, creates, he does only because he wants to. You see, what a statement. You see, God chooses to create. But by the same token, God also chooses not to create. In the chapel here, a certain number of seats are occupied. John chose to create. You occupy the pews in chapel. God also chose not to create the empty pews. Are not filled. Could, if God had chosen, not have created any of us, could he? Of course. We go back to our question. How does God create? He creates with his own almighty free will. But we use the present tense of the verb. How does God create? In order to bring out two profound truths. The world around us, the ocean near which I live in Washington, the mountains on which Hamer Springs is built, regarding them, we can say God created, past tense. But regarding us, 9 months before we were born, we were exactly, mathematically, I keep telling my students, metaphysically, nothing. But the same almighty free will which brought the world and us into existence, God must continually, and I mean continually, exercise. Otherwise, what God created, he would thereby annihilate. What does God have to do to annihilate the world or us within it? Very simple. All he'd have to do is say, I now decide not to exercise my almighty free will. And that's the end of that. As we go more deeply into this meditation on creation as the foundation of the spiritual life, oh, how we need, how desperately we need to keep telling ourselves, because we're so liable to forget, that except for the free will of God, we wouldn't exist. I couldn't open my mouth, and you would not hear a word. Talk about dependence. Our human vocabulary becomes speechless when we try to describe it, we cannot. We're dealing with mystery. How totally, utterly, absolutely dependent we are on the free will of God. Our third question. Why did God create whatever he created? First, let's remove the reasons why God did not create. He did not create because he had to. That is why that adjective free in describing the divine creative will is at the heart of Christianity. When I began a course this past summer in Arlington, Virginia, and happened to be lecturing on the subject that I am sharing with you, one of my women students objected. "Do you mean," she said, "that God, who is a love, did not have to exercise his love in order to bring the world and us into being?" "No," she persisted. I repeated, "No." She came to me after class. I was kind, but repeated, "No." The next day, she objected again during class. See me after class. She came back with the same objection. She had read too many books or maybe heard too many lectures. I was not unhappy when she did not come back to class. Why did God create? I repeat and I emphasize, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Are we then saying that God benefits nothing from the world that he created? That's right. Are we saying that there is no way, no way, we can make God more happy? Or as the demonic process theologians say, God is perfected by his creation. That is a lie. You don't explain this, you believe it. We return to our question. Why did God create? Because he wanted to share with beings not yet in existence something of what he as God had possessed, had enjoyed from everlasting eternity. Why did God create? Because he not only is love, which he was and would have been had he never made the world. Why did God create? Because he is loving. And the essence of love, how we need to hear this in an age that has now produced a multi-million circulating magazine called Self. The essence of love is to give. How do we know? Because that's the meaning of love in God. And if I were in one sentence to describe the modern world, especially our modern, over-educated, overfed American world, it's a world that has redefined love by saying that love means to get. No, love means to give. I'm not quite finished with the third question. Why did God create? Out of love. He did not need to create. He does not now need to create, as he does, by the way, our father and mother provided the body. Our bodies were not immediately created. But the moment our parents provided the body, God created out of nothing, our souls. That is why we use not only the past tense. Why did God create? Why does He continue creating? Both by exercising His almighty creative power in sustaining the world in existence, and every time a child is conceived, God creates the human soul. We dare not, we absolutely dare not, in answering the question, why did or does God create, we may not say that it is either necessary on the part of God or beneficial for God. All the benefit, all the profit, all the good, all the value is on the side of the creatures whom God makes. And why? Because He loves. And when Christ, centuries after the book of Genesis was written, told us we're to become as perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, that means many things. But for our purpose, it surely means that we are to become like God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, in loving others, even though and they won't disappoint us, even though we'll give and keep giving and get nothing, or at least we may think we're getting nothing in return. God as Creator did not bargain with the world that He made. We cannot benefit God. We can only, in what we casually say, do for God. Listen, we can only benefit ourselves, and of course others, whom God puts into our lives, but never any benefit to God. The last time we're asking the question, why did God create? Because God loves, that's why. And love gives without asking in return. We go on. Why did God create me? We better know. I don't have to tell you, you already know, that many people, quite frankly, don't know why they exist. Why did God create me? He created me in order that by my doing His will, conforming myself to Him, that this God who brought me out of nothing into existence getting no benefit from whatever, as I casually say, do for him. Why did God create me? That because, watch this, because God, who did not have to give us anything, beginning with our existence, why did God create me? That I, by the use of my free will, respond by loving God in return. God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him. Where? Here on earth. So that by being faithful in knowing, loving, and serving God in this life, I might reach that heavenly destiny for which I was made. Why did God create me? God created me to live in this world indeed. But he did not create me for this world. Why did God make me? He made me that by doing his will, now on earth, I might enjoy him in heaven for all eternity. God made me in order that, having known, loved, and served him faithfully, now I might possess and enjoy him hereafter. The longer I live, and the more I see, the more convinced I become how the human race can be divided into two classes. There are no unbelievers in the world. Did you know that? No unbelievers, period. Except in mental institutions. Every sane person believes. But not everyone believes the same thing. I wouldn't calculate how many of the 5 billion people on earth believe only in this world, and others, thank God, they're among them, who have no illusions about this world being real, but also believe that there is a world beyond this one, and a life that will begin for us the moment, as we casually say, we die. Why did God make me that I might do his will, no matter how demanding that will may be, now, in order that I might enjoy his presence in heaven without end? But let me tell you, and let me repeat, this is no cheap rhetoric. This is the foundation of everything else in our lives. Everything else. We were not made to stay here. We were meant to live on and on after our body and soul separates. Why did God create me? He created me that provided I use my free will to respond to God's will in this life, God will use His will after death to provide me with such happiness as no one else has a right to, except the person who during his stay on earth had always honestly tried to do the will of God. Why did God create me? So that I might use my free will to respond to God's free will and have some measure of peace and happiness in this life and perfect beatitude in the life to come. Our fifth and last question. Having asked, why did God create me? God created me because He loved me. And He wants me to love Him in return. It's that simple and that hard, I know. Why then did God create the rest of the world? I would not have to be a son of Saint Ignatius, who in his opening of the spiritual exercises, the first words read, "Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save his soul." End of the first sentence. God created the rest of the world in order to help man save his soul. Why then did God create the rest of the world, having created me to be happy? Happy here if I do His will. Nobody else is happy. God created the rest of the world to enable us to do God's will. It means, therefore, how this needs repetition, that nothing ever happens in our lives, nothing, if I wore myself out repeating, there is no chance with God. Nothing merely occurs. Everything is part of God's providence. Why did God make the rest of the world? To help me reach heaven. That's why. You mean that uncouth person that requires so much patience on my part, you mean he or she is also part of the reason why God created the world? Indeed. No thought we ever have, no desire, no telephone call, ever without a divinely ordained purpose. and the secret of the spiritual life as we close this first meditation. The secret of the spiritual life is to be constantly conscious of God, our Creator, grateful for having brought us out of nothing into existence, aware of the fact that everything in our lives is part of His divine, all-wise and loving plan, and that, believing this, we act accordingly. Lord Jesus, You are our Creator, become man. We believe that You and the Father and the Holy Spirit are the Creator of everything which exists. Dear Jesus, keep us from ever forgetting that whatever we have or possess is Your gift. Help us, dear Lord, never to forget that we owe You everything, and You've given us, dear Lord, what You used in making the world. Help us, dear Lord, to use our free will exclusively in conforming ourselves to Your free will, so that, accepting whatever You send us in this life, You might accept us the moment we enter eternity, not to be separated from You for endless ages to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.